Welcome back, Survivor fans. This is episode 4 of season 24 of Tribal Council Podcast. I should say it's of Survivor. This is our third year running, right, Chris?
It's our third season running. We're really only about a year and a half in.
And I'm Ralph, and we are going to bring you recap, strategy, stunned silence.
Yes. When the podcast goes silent for about 2 or 3 minutes there, don't turn off your iPhone or your iPod or anything like that. But we'll be back. That's just the portion where we go back, turn on our TVs, and rewatch the last 15 minutes or so of the episode and sit in awe of what has transpired.
You know, there have been very dumb moves in the history of this show.
Indeed.
But this one defies all explanation. I can't logically consider how 8 men can come to one conclusion the way they did.
Well, 8 of them didn't come to that conclusion.
They had to. They had to all consent to it.
I don't think they did.
They did, because it's their immunity.
I mean,
how can you drag someone who's won immunity into tribal council when they've won immunity?
I don't know. I mean, I guess you're...
No, each single one of them earned immunity when the team won immunity. So for them to go means they all individually had to agree that I am surrendering immunity so that we can go to tribal council with them.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I guess I just sort of assumed it was a simple majority rule sort of situation.
No. No.
But I guess maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I certainly would have dragged my feet. I mean, it's... Well, whatever. We are way ahead of ourselves.
That's what the show's about.
It's true. It is what the show's about, and I hope we can wrap up the first... In the first 10 minutes, get through the first 45 minutes of the episode, yeah.
Okay, so let's rewind approximately 50 minutes into the of the show.
Right.
We cut to camp, the boys come back from the boat, and Tarzan says that Mike is kind of clueless and identifies that Bill is the threat, and I think he's onto that in the sense that Bill is significantly more charming. Mike doesn't seem to be playing at all, and if he is, he doesn't know anything about what he's doing.
I don't get the anti-Bill vibe. I mean, I get Colton's anti-Bill vibe. I understand why he's anti-Bill. I don't get why the rest of the tribe is, because this, Bill is wishy-washy or shady or whatever. Where did that come from? Did Colton plant a Russell seed somewhere?
But I think the reasons behind what Tarzan wants to do make a lot more sense than the reasons that some of the other guys give.
Are you regularly saying his name Tarzan now?
Yes.
I don't know if
it's
on purpose.
Significantly more amusing to me than saying Tarzan.
I suppose it at least, yeah. It makes you feel a little less ridiculous by actually saying the name a little more ridiculously.
Right. Yeah, if I have to call a grown man Tarzan, I'm going to say it ridiculously to make it feel...
You're applying the less is more philosophy, or maybe the more is less philosophy here.
Explain how?
You're saying it more ridiculously, but it actually makes the whole situation feel actually a bit less ridiculous.
I get it. Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Whatever.
All right, so... post that, Jonas and Troy-Zan visit the ladies, mm-hmm. and Jonas makes an offer that seems too heavily weighted in their favor, at least if I was one of the guys. But it seems in good
too heavily weighted in the guys' favor.
No, it's too heavily weighted in the girls' favor, just in terms of they really don't have to do anything. All they have to do is take this prize that they have earned, let the boys use it, and then they receive half a catch for what they've already won.
I disagree. I think it was too heavily weighted in the guys' favor there. I mean, because what's the work Jonas is going to do? He's going to take the thing out there, he's going to lay the net down, he's going to walk away, and he's going to come back in 6 hours and see if there's any fish caught in it. You know? I mean, not that I know what
that requires. That requires knowing how to set the thing up, where to put it, how to optimally use it, how to harvest it once you've got it. I think there's more skill in that than it sounds like.
I suppose. I thought it was a decent opening offer. You know, I think what the counter should have been... I mean, first off, the thing you have to be wary about now is that, you know, the precedent has been set that any word given on anything is not really worth anything because Chelsea walked away with two chickens. On the other hand, like, I guess I like the women's reluctance, although their reluctance is foolish because, like, once again, like, it's a good thing these people aren't on a, like, Model UN show or something like that because the world would implode in every episode. These people have no clue how to negotiate anything. There's one offer made, the other side says no, and then they walk away calling each other idiots.
So okay, let me counter you with this offer if I was the guy. So be like, okay, we'll go and catch fish. You can keep whatever you want and, you know, give us a little bit of something in return.
Well, I don't know.
Like, let them have first choice. Be like, look, you can take whatever you want here.
Yeah, something along those lines.
You know, just negotiate in good faith. Like, leave us something.
Yeah, but again, the good faith thing has sort of gone out the window because Chelsea set precedent when she walked away with two chickens after they claimed they were going to, you know, like that's fresh in people their minds.
But in her mind, she was exacting revenge for what had occurred during the...
Well, that's her mind, though. I mean,
no, I know, but I'm saying at the same time, I can understand that if you can say that settles the books for the girls, then from that point forward, you know, you should be able to say let's negotiate in good faith.
Well, but that's what the girls are going to see. Here's what the girls should have done. They should have countered with, we will work with you on the net, and you can walk away with a quarter of the fish. Or something like that.
Then they'd have to work on it.
Well, right, but they would be gaining the supposed skill and expertise in how to use a net from Jonas. Maybe Jonas is full of it, and he doesn't have any expertise, and is just trying to weasel some fish out of them that they happen to catch. But, you know, it's worth a gamble, I think.
This is Jonas, the guy we keep talking about. I thought his name was Jason.
What?
Jason, not Jonas.
What are you talking about? His name's Jonas, I thought.
Yes, it is.
Oh.
You're misrecalling the challenge.
What?
During the challenge, Jonas goes up to launch for the guys in the coconut challenge.
Oh.
Segue to the reward challenge.
Okay.
Teams launching coconuts at a bingo board. They have to get bingo.
Uh-huh. Did someone call him Jason?
Yes.
Oh, who did?
When he calls Jonas up, Tarzan is like, go Jason! Let's go Jason!
Oh, I did not notice that.
And the guys are like, dude, his name's Jonas. And they proceeded to say Jonas's name approximately 10 times in the next 4 seconds.
That's funny. I did
just
not
to
know
remind
that.
Us all that his name is Jonas.
The thing I didn't get about this reward challenge, why did the guys have to sit one? Like, you're going turn for turn. Who cares if somebody sits out or not?
Maybe there's a physical exhaustion aspect to it. Just
okay.
Rearing back on that catapult.
Which is balanced by the fact that the women get to put their best shooter in the rotation a little more heavily.
Didn't seem like there was much of a rotation.
Yeah.
Didn't seem like they were keeping with the batting
order.
I
agree. It was a weird. Ultimately, this was a kind of a dud of a challenge. It seems like one of those challenges they might insert every once in a while just to make sure that they don't just completely wear out all of the contestants. You know, they can't make every challenge like, you know, the Stairway to Heaven that Rob won a few seasons ago.
Yeah, that would pretty much kill them.
Like, you know, they do that every time, and, you know, they're going to have to start giving these people, like, you know, a bag of rice each instead of one bag of rice for the tribe.
Yeah. I thought Monica did a great job. She obliterated a couple targets on her turns.
Yeah, she did
and
well.
And
she
also
the winner,
began
the
episode. Yeah, she began the episode, you know, catching the snail breakfast for them. So I'm rooting for her. I think she kind of got a raw deal. She got lumped in as, like, an old woman who doesn't know what she's doing, but
yeah.
she should really work on trying to crack the Younger Women Alliance to try to get in on that, because I think she really has a lot to offer in terms of just A, physical ability, and B, she seems like to have a really good head on her shoulders.
Yeah, our oft-mentioned friend Victor texted me earlier and said she's about the only person he feels like he can root for on this season.
Oh, I don't know.
I disagree with him as well. Although he contends that no male is worth rooting for anymore.
No male is worth rooting for anymore.
Yeah.
Wow.
But again, we get ahead of ourselves.
No, but at the same time, you know, you do want that part of a season in there to where you have people that you think are good people you'd want to see go forward.
Yeah, you
versus
do.
People you think are undeserving and are petty and need to go home. Colton.
I was going to say, you're alluding none too subtly at someone on the show, I think.
Yeah, it was just the guy, he makes an excellent villain.
I suppose so.
He knows how to put it on.
You know what I was surprised about is that they had those three rewards there, and nobody made a play to Jeff on how do we walk out of here with all three of those. You know, like can we agree to up the ante and say each, you know, play for reward, you know, choosing rewards in order. Based on how quickly we each get a Connect 5 here, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
First one who gets a Connect 5 gets their first choice of word. The next Connect 5, which obviously is going to play in the favor of the losing team, mm-hmm. is...
So they could sweep pretty easily.
No. It would be tough
to
sweep.
Oh, yeah, because they already have
right.
most of it done. Yeah,
it would be very hard to sweep. And so that or just in general, like... You know, offer to the losing team. You know, offer to the losing team and to Jeff. You know, can the winning team take pick two and the losing team walks away with one, or alternate back and forth picking, or like some like you know, just make the case that these donuts should not be gone to waste.
I'll refer you to your comments from 5 minutes ago, at which you pointed out right. they are
yeah.
horrible at negotiating.
That's true. Oh, well.
So we get to the post-reward pre-immunity banter, and Bill and Leaf very innocently sitting on a beach. Who knew that one little sitting down together
would produce so much? The very foreshadowing comment from Jonas, which it's funny, I wrote it down. Of course, I had no idea where this episode was headed. But he said they talk about winning and losing challenges, and we got to bring this girl. You know, the girls are starting to pull ahead here. And, you know, they've won three in a row or whatever. And Jonas is like, or someone said something about it being basically even. And Jonas is like, we're up one. We have one more person than they do, and immunity is what matters. They can win all the donuts they want. Immunity is what is important. And I didn't even realize how prophetic this statement was going to be.
You know, something like that seems so obvious.
Yeah.
And so common sense that I would not write that down, Chris.
I know.
Like, why would I make note of a comment that seems so basic and obvious?
I know. I think maybe I've just gotten used to how not intelligent some of these people are, and that's why I felt compelled to write it down. Maybe it's because, was Jonas my horse? Is he my horse?
I'll have to go to the tape.
Yeah,
I don't recall.
I can't recall. I think I made Jonas my horse, so maybe that's why I wrote it down. I just wanted to compliment him for being right.
Is he an attractive female?
I know he's not my horse. Yeah,
okay.
That's
okay.
For sure.
So we know that. You got to give up to the Survivor producers for how this episode came together, because the story as it was told really kind of like, you know, as much as it arises out of organic thin air, like, All the wheels get set into motion, and there's very little like extraneous stuff going on, which hasn't been the case up to this point.
Well, and I did notice that we got to the challenges really quickly in the episode. Like that reward challenge. Like I was just finished listening to the whistle guy go, you know, in the opening credits, like. I was, wait a minute, that's fast. And then the next one came pretty quickly. I felt like something good must happen later on, because we got through these challenges real quick.
Yeah, it's been a while since we had an episode like this, so
yeah.
I let my guard down, and I didn't really think about the fact that the rate at which the challenges were coming.
I thought we might be in for a double elim or something like that.
Yeah, that would fit the timeline. That would definitely fit the timeline.
That would have been, and you know what? If the guys had any sense, that's what they should have done. They should have said, no, we're not going to give them immunity. We're just going to show up at tribal council with them, and we're both voting off. Like, that would have been, like, even that would have been a smarter move than what was done today. At least then you're making sure you maintain your one person advantage.
Yeah, you're completely right. I don't even know what to tell you, Chris.
Which and that would have been great. Like, if I was actually trying to count the torches as they were going into tribal council, like, because, you know, they were trying to be real coy, not showing you
Chris,
who it is.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
I know.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
Sorry.
Okay.
So Leaf and Bill are sitting on the beach. Go ahead. I was just trying to cue you up.
Like, from both sides, obviously Bill, you know, given his performance at the last Tribal Council, isn't really sure where he's going to stand. I don't think it makes him wishy-washy to be talking to Leaf, because, again, why wouldn't you want to save yourself at this point?
Right. No, yeah,
the only person who can be posed as wishy-washy in this is Leaf. And I think the only reason he's doing it is because not because he's playing the game, because he genuinely likes Bill.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill seems like an extraordinarily likable person, gregarious, not rude.
I don't know about extraordinarily likable, but I would go with likable.
Likable. Fine.
I mean, he's got some Randy Jackson tendencies in him that I could do without, but...
Yeah, dog. And Mike, to his credit, pounces on this opportunity to build something of credit with Colton.
Mm-hmm.
Rats out Leaf. Leaf gets called onto the carpet. It was just perfect. Like... You know, he's, like, lounging in the shelter with, like, an arm over his forehead. You know, I think Mike was there fanning him with a fern.
Right.
And he's like...
Tarzan was out collecting grapes for him.
Leaf. What did you say? And you know, we bust people up for this all the time, but Leaf just has no story ready.
Not only does he not have a story ready, he doesn't even have the actual story ready. Like,
the only two people who know what was said in that conversation were him and Bill.
Mm-hmm.
All he has to do is deny. And then it's he said,
mm-hmm.
and that's all you have to do. You know? You're like, no, I didn't tell him anything.
An improvement over what transpired would be Leaf telling the truth. That would be an improvement. Leaf just sat there like a deer in headlights, didn't know what to say. And then he's like, yeah, I told him he's next. Actually, no, you didn't. What you told him was you were the other one that Colton was talking about. You didn't, in the previous vote, you did not say everybody has decided that you're next. Like, you have actual plausible deniability here. Use it.
No longer plausible, actual deniability.
Yeah, actual. I guess, yeah.
Actual deniability.
Actual deniability. You have genuine deniability.
I mean, I at the same time, I am not the kind of person who does real well when I'm put to the screws in terms of, like, you know, I screw up all the time, and, like, people call me out on my stuff, and I'm like, I tried this, and then I did that, and you're right, I screwed up. And, like, I eventually get to the point where they point out, and I agree with them, that I, like, have effed up. But it's ugly. So I know the feeling, and Colton is so good at, like, making...
Yeah,
there is no pun involved here, but he's very good at making another person feel small.
No pun there.
There's no pun there.
No pun there.
None.
Yeah.
Zero.
I thought it was funny. He even tried to lure it out of Leaf, like, he's like, you know, if you're honest now, I'll see what I can do. And I was like... Do for what? Like, with St. Peter and the Pearly Gates? Or, what do you mean, see what you can do?
I hate him so much, but he's such a good villain.
Yeah, I mean, we know, it's a foregone conclusion at this point that Colton is turning up on another season of Survivor if Survivor actually sticks around long enough for another Returners season, right? I mean, that's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, no, he needs
And
he
Cochran
needs
will be there, too.
He needs someone else to butt heads with him, you know.
And Cochran
I don't
would be
want
it.
Cochran. I don't want Cochran.
Well,
no, I want someone like the cheerleader who wouldn't scramble. What's her name?
Brenda.
I would like to see Brenda against him.
Yeah, she was a queen bee type as well, but with a little less of the pomp and circumstance.
Yeah. You know, that would be an interesting matchup. Just on the face. Just on the face. Or
better yet, we put Sash there too. And we also put, I can't remember his name, he's the guy who got voted out first in Sash's season. The guy who is majorly concerned with finding out whether or not Sash was gay. Remember that? The very first first tribal council. Hold on. Let's just get this out of the way. Are you gay?
Hey, bro. You gay?
Because that was very much in the way of the progress of tribal council.
And it mattered whether or not he was going
home. It mattered. It was impeding. I mean, Jeff couldn't even host a show. He doesn't. I gotta wonder. Do you suppose when people knock on Jeff's door or when he rings their doorbell, he just yells from wherever he is, "Come on in, guys!"
Oh, crap.
I couldn't resist. When I saw it today, I don't know what. It hit me in a funny way. I don't know.
All right, let's move on.
That would be even better if he had a doorbell where you ring it and it's him from one of the seasons saying it. Come on in, guys! That would be awesome. All right, we've degenerated enough here.
The tree mail for the immunity challenge shows up. They put together this puzzle. There's a riddle. Monica's figuring it out. Once they figure out they're working in pairs and on a puzzle, Kat says, "Hey, I'd walk towards someone's really strong in puzzles because I'm not very good." And Alicia, takes this as just, a personal
attack.
Very personal attack. And goes off.
And also wants a blue ribbon for being able to solve the 6-piece puzzle that was Tree Mail. I put this together, didn't I? Whew! All right. You are Mensa material, Alicia. Let me get that application ready for
her. Her act is going to get very tired. She's like the bad villain. Like, she's the villain that's like thinks she's an awesome villain, but doesn't get it.
I don't think she even realizes she's a villain.
Illogical and horrible.
I don't think she realizes she's a villain. I think she thinks everybody behaves this way.
Her reactions would be the normal reactions for anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh, I feel bad for
this. This is half of my disappointment from this episode. Is the A, the weakness in strategy on the guy's part, and then B, the fact that Alicia didn't get to go home. Because I thought for sure it was going to be her. I'm so sick of her. Oh.
There's been a lot of wishing that things would blow one way and they end up blowing another. And
yeah.
A lot of it has to do with people not being able to pull the trigger on certain things. And I don't know that even after, they attempted to try to vote out Kat instead of Nina, I don't see how they could have voted out Alicia instead of Christina.
You think so?
I don't think that would have happened. I really don't.
Well, now maybe it will, though. Maybe.
I think that Alliance passing on the opportunity to keep Nina instead of Kat, they're going to pass on the opportunity.
Do you think maybe the fact that they're going to basically get, if they lose the next immunity challenge, that they basically will have had a full 3-day deliberation will help them come around to voting out Alicia?
I think it depends on what happens. The winds blow very – they change very quickly.
Yeah, they're fickle. They are fickle.
And it's like whatever happens on, the day and a half leading up to that tribal council will have the most weight when it comes down to making that decision. So who knows? The immunity challenge was interesting in that it put a challenge – I felt like it put more of a burden on every member of the team to contribute. Just because of the cooperation aspect of it.
I guess. I mean, all those. The only puzzle that had any. That even deserves any merit as a puzzle was the last. The mosaic puzzle. That was the only one. Because those you can get yourself into traps with when you're sliding those things around. But the other two. A 4-piece pyramid? Are you kidding me? I probably could do that with my eyes closed. And the girls, it appears, were trying to do those puzzles with their eyes closed.
So, explain to me how a girl is supposed to, survive to the end when none of them exhibit any ability to complete a puzzle without assistance said puzzle.
You know what? I got a new name for this season. Survivor War of Attrition. That's the new name for this season. Because the girls, you could hand them a 1-piece puzzle and they'd put it in upside down or something. The guys...
Like, they would treat the keys at the end as a puzzle.
Exactly.
Like, which way does the key go?
I can't get all three keys in at once. It won't let me put all three into the lock.
How do I assemble these keys into one key?
The guys will win immunity, and they say, no, 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 girls. You stay. We want to vote out our own. What? What is going on? This is insanity. This is so bad. I'm starting to come around to Victor's point of view. Victor texted me saying, he's like, I'm not sure I can watch this season anymore. And I'm talking myself into it here.
No, I can't turn away. This is the train wreck season, right? This is the one where, like every error is going to come into play, and we're just going to see suboptimal play just rear its ugly head.
I guess it sort of is like, you know, after having Russell for a few seasons and Boston Rob, you know, any attempt to recreate that was just going to fall flat on its face because you were just going to get subpar versions of that. And so the better decision was to swing the pendulum the other way and just, you know, just go for chickens with their heads cut off, you know?
You know, we've seen a lot of this. You know, Amazing Race, they don't draft fast teams or smart teams. They draft teams of Joes, just absolute Joes who will go out there and make clowns of themselves.
Uh-huh.
So maybe we're at that point.
I guess.
You know, we're at the point where it's not about getting people who will do well in wilderness or will outwit others. It's who will make a spectacular fool of themselves in front of a national audience.
Right, who'll get hit with a watermelon in their face.
Yeah, that was great. Really,
and that was just dumb luck there too. I mean, that wasn't even really being that bad or something. I mean, although I don't know. I guess now that I think about it, I've seen a lot of slingshot challenges in different shows, and that's the first time I've ever seen one come back in the wrong direction.
Before we get to the weirdest events of the day,
mm-hmm.
Do you think Bill had any? I mean, when Bill approached Colton. Like, what did you expect?
Well...
Like, the first time, where he's like, let's just settle this, like, man-to-man.
Well, first off, it was, what was it? It was person-to-person, human-to-human man. Like, he exhausted, like, I missed mammal-to-mammal. Like, he exhausted every possible means of describing how they were going to settle that. I mean, Colton tried to shut it down. There's a degree to which I think it would have been, it's a little in Bill's favor to try to play this up into a dramatic thing, to like get a little bit of like, look what an ass Colton is in front of the rest of the tribe.
Yeah, that's the only way to play it, is try to approach him, try to get a reasonable reaction out of him, and when you can't, you bring that to others and say, look who you are dealing with, you know?
Right.
You're
right.
Dealing with a megalomaniac.
Yes.
Who thinks that he is running everything.
That's a good,
description there
of him. Yeah, he's a megalomaniac, that's for sure.
If you follow him, he will just do this to you one by one.
Right.
He will find a reason to not like you, he will shut you down, and he will vote you out, and people will not stand up to it.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the only way to play that. And instead, he allowed Colton to manipulate him into losing his cool.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. When he turned it into this, like, you know, face guarding exercise where he just tried to stand directly in front of wherever Colton was going, you know, he ended up losing his opportunity to take the high road in front of the other his other tribe mates, and he did have at least an audience of, I think, Leaf and maybe Mike. So my question for you is, Mike has to...
How could he have not had Troy and Tarzan? Like, I think he could have had those guys. Like, look, you know, this
oh,
guy...
Oh, no. I'm not saying that he couldn't win them over. I'm saying he, like, literally had an audience of Leaf and Mike.
Yes.
They were literally present.
In
what was
presence,
like,
yes.
Right.
Presence.
If you're Mike, what do you think about this? You know, are you just going to sit on it and be happy that it's not you, that the focus is elsewhere? Or do you actually try to do you try to get with Bill and rally a few people around turning this in completely in your favor?
At what point are we talking about?
when you're watching
once Bill's getting thrown up by
anywhere between tribal, anywhere between the immunity challenge and tribal council. Because it seems like Mike is being very passive.
I think
about
you keep the spotlight off you. I think in Mike's situation, if I'm him, I let everything play out and stand back.
Yeah.
Because it's not on you. It's on Bill. You're in no position of power. You know, this is not the fight that you want to be involved in.
But I feel like here's the thing. Like, they can – all they need is to swing one person. And there's – like, they're – okay, Leaf and Bill are in the same boat with no paddles. So they automatically are going to can team up with each other, right? They have no reason – they have no other options. So by virtue of no options, they will go with whatever decent options are presented to them. So that's three right there if you put Mike with them. Jay was supposed to be a part of the Beefcake Alliance, of which there's only three left, including Jay, and the two of them are already in this little proposed alliance that I'm putting together.
And so he's shown an ability to be fluid with his allegiance.
Right, and he doesn't seem to necessarily be that much in love with Colton. Like, he went with Colton because he was smart enough to just go with the, you know, whatever direction the breeze was headed. So that gives you four. You now have half the tribe there. Now, granted, Colton has the immunity idol, and so you could lose, but you could A, flush out, at the very least, flush out Colton's idol. B, Jonas exhibits very quickly that he's not terribly fond of this idea either. I mean, he had a great line. I wrote it down. Where did it go? when Colton's pitching this idea to him of going to tribal council and giving immunity, he just sort of sits there and pauses and goes, "Well, that would be interesting." I mean, like, he clearly is not on board with this idea.
No, I don't know.
Like,
you could have rallied for Jonas.
You could have rallied Jonas, and you would have five right there.
No,
and you can.
I don't think he rallied Jonas. He lives in fear of Colton.
I guess.
Jonas is a small man.
You're right.
Jonas is a small man.
He does live in fear of Colton. You're right about that. I mean, he definitely said Colton's running things around here. And, you know, it amazes me how some people just, like, the second they realize someone's running things, that they just lay down for him. Like, they don't rally the other people who clearly don't have their interests aligned with Colton's. Or better yet, I should say the other way around. The people whose Colton's interests do not align with. And, you know, people just, every once in a while, just like, it was the same thing with Boston Rob two seasons ago. You know, it's, he was running the show and nobody seemed to mind. Like,
but I don't know what exactly he's done to have earned the fear that the people had of Boston Rob. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the weird part.
They've had one vote. Mm-hmm. They did the logical thing, which is to band together the five against the four.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he's running the show.
Yeah, he went from misfit to monarch there in a heartbeat. I mean, I have to say, I'm at the very least impressed. I mean, I can't stand him, but he's,
well, it's completely unexpected, and I think that's the best part of this, and why I am compelled to watch, is that where it came from seems to be out of left field. It's, you know, it was two episodes ago that we were watching him mope over to the girls' camp, being rejected there, and then finding himself rejected in both camps.
Yeah, I mean,
and somehow, in two episodes, he's arisen to this position of fear.
Yeah, he's had a Jeremy Lin-like rise to stardom.
I'm sure it's a complete coincidence that Harvard made it to the tournament for the first time in about 4 or 5 decades.
It's the Jeremy Lin effect. It's trickled down. Big dap for Tommy Amaker.
All right. So, you know, it's amazing, again, because they needed to be unanimous in order to go to tribal.
Mm-hmm. Did they?
Which means...
Was that established, or are we just assuming that?
I think it's established, because there was a point at which they were going to vote. They're like, well, we all have to agree, because if we don't, then we can't go. Because, again, all of that immunity was won by each of them. So you can't ask someone to give up immunity if he doesn't want to.
I guess. I agree with you. I don't understand. That's the other thing I don't get. How did they get there? When they did the poll, two people stuck their hands up.
Right.
Two. Colton and Tarzan. And Tarzan is...
Which, again, makes you wonder how good Colton is. Because we had people who were prominently on the fence. They could see both sides of it. They didn't want to go, but they understood why going would be...
How do you see both sides? How could you possibly see both sides of this?
Because if you are in a position of fear, if you are operating purely out of fear and surviving, then you see the benefit of going with the guy that you believe is running the show.
Well, that's not seeing both sides of it. That's just seeing that you need to not put up a fight.
Well, the one side is
not
A,
seeing merits in the
I
decision.
I see the side of it doesn't make sense that we're going to give up a guy.
Yeah.
And B, the other side is, well, giving up this guy means the spotlight's not on me.
I can't, but it just means it's sooner than this. Like, this is just so amazingly foolish. Like, when you have a guy, I don't care how untrustworthy he is or whatever. Like, the best part is you've already shamed Leaf to death here. Like, he is... The guy doesn't know which way is up. He's so nervous around camp. There's no way he was going to be able to pull off any sort of, like, coup in the next 3 days. So, you got a guy who's a lame duck, you string him out! You string him out, you make him carry the water back from the well, right, and all sorts of other
stuff. The thing is, the longer he's the shamed member of the Alliance, the longer you're not the shamed member of the Alliance.
Exactly! Like, this makes sense for one person and one person only. And it doesn't even really make sense for Colton either. I mean...
Frankly, if I'm Bill, I'm glad to be off that island.
Well, I don't know about that.
Come on. I mean, like, at that point, be like, honestly, if this is how it's going to go down...
You turning in your torch, Ralph? I mean, you're just going to voluntarily turn in your torch?
I've never been lauded for my stick-to-itiveness, Chris.
Okay.
The word perseveres and Ralph have never been married.
Okay.
I've never considered myself, the strength of character in order to go on one of these shows.
All right.
So, at that point, you throw up your hands and be like, if this is honestly how this tribe's going to operate, then I've earned my ticket out of here. And no shame in heading home. But again, I see your point in saying that it is essentially surrendering, so...
Yeah, it's
not that you would have done it at the time, but once you're gone, it's like this was not the worst fate,
I don't know. I view it as like sitting at a poker table with a bunch of fish. The only outcome I'm happy with is taking all their money. Is taking over the game and showing them what idiots they're being by bumping them off.
You're comparing very different games here.
It's true. It is a very different game. Yes, it is.
There's no way to you can maintain yourself at a table as long as you want to with a line to your bank account.
Yeah.
But it's different on the show.
Yeah, that's true. So let's talk about Tribal itself.
Yeah.
I mean, it was interesting. I mean, first off, Jeff did a great job in this episode. He got back to his needling ways at the end of the immunity challenge. Like, he stuck it to the women. In the immunity challenge, he stuck it to the women. Gave Alicia and Chelsea a really hard time about the fact that they could not handle the easiest puzzle on the course. Although I would argue that it probably wasn't the easiest puzzle on the course. I think that pyramid one was probably the easiest one on the course. I mean, it had four pieces. I mean, come on. But he was doing that. He was needling the guys in Tribal Council. He gave them a hard time saying this could go down as the dumbest move. There's no chance this goes down as the dumbest move. There's no you cannot at all compare this to Eric giving up his immunity. Where was that? Final six? Final seven? Something like that? Like,
about right.
Immunity with 15 people left I don't
even think Eric's is dumber compared to Tyson. Tyson had nothing to gain by changing that vote. There's literally nothing to gain. And he engineered his own exit.
Well, but the difference is...
He had nothing to gain. He had nothing. There was nothing to gain.
The difference is he had he did have the fear of something spinning on him, though. And you can manipulate that. Like, when you are safe, when you have immunity, you are safe. Like, why mess with that? You know? Like, you don't give up immunity. Ever. Ever. As Dreams taught us so long ago, you don't give up immunity. Ever. Even when somebody gave you a car and got you to commit to it on national TV that you would give it up. It's just... You just don't do it.
The one thing I kept typing is like, what's going on? Like, I don't understand how the conversation could possibly continue. It was like the same kind of disbelief that you have like around like about like a mass suicide. Like, how do you engineer a mass suicide? How do you get a group of people to believe that the best thing to do is to endanger yourselves and throw yourselves onto the
The group think there was just amazing. Like. I don't understand why.
Dogs and cats.
I mean, maybe Colton has got these guys under a major spell, but I don't understand why a couple of the skeptics didn't get together and like form a
timeout. Like, what's going on?
Go talk alone, where you know outside, you know, the Colton blanket of of no thinking, and actually discuss what's happening. Like, does this make any sense? And like. Be like, no, okay, we need to all just say, no, this is stupid. but that said, there's no way in my mind that it's as bad a move as Eric giving up immunity, because it's deeper in the game. Like, yes, it's a foolish move, but, you know, moves like this early in the game are nowhere near as consequential as moves late in the game, and that's just universally true.
It's not as dumb a mistake. It's not as bad as a mistake.
It's right.
Significantly more unbelievable.
Yeah, that's true, though.
I don't know how you can tell me that eight people could be convinced to all surrender their immunity.
Yeah, you can manipulate one person, but to get eight people to get on board with such an idea is definitely more shocking.
And that someone from the other tribe had nothing to do with it.
You know? No, that's the best part. Like, Alicia and Christina should have been over there, like, talking it up. Be like, oh, yeah, you got to get rid of him. That's not cool when somebody starts turning on you. Like, they start exposing information.
Man,
like,
gotta get that is like the that ultimate betrayal. Here.
Yeah.
Leaf's got to go.
That's baloney, man. If I could, I'd vote for him tonight.
We'll go with you guys. Let's vote him out.
Exactly. Let's get the first ever 14-1 vote.
Here's another thing, Chris. They're talking about his trade. What did they trade for that, you know, giving away that immunity to Hill?
I know!
Couldn't they have asked for everything?
For
be
it.
Like, girls, give us everything at the camp, and you can have this immunity idol.
And they would. And they probably would have
continued. They probably would have said yes.
They might have even given the tarp up. The tarp that the guys had no need for. That would have been so awesome. Like, that would have 100% justified the move. If they gave up... Maybe not 100%. I'll go to 49%. It would have 49% justified giving up immunity if they got the other tarp in exchange for it, just to make the women miserable again the next time it rained, you know, and watch them just shiver and quiver.
What couldn't you have asked for? Like, are the girls gonna be like, well, we can either go to tribal and the six of us can be warmer tonight. Or
right, exactly. I mean, the guys did this wrong on like 19 levels. You could have had them both. You could have let the ladies go to tribal and then just showed up right behind them. You could have gotten something for it. You also could have just not gone to tribal. You know, that's also an option. like you could have gotten the fishing net for that immunity. You could have gotten just about anything.
Anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And they took nothing.
And they got nothing for it, yeah. And the girls are just, like, standing over there, like, wow, we suck at puzzles, but we get common sense, at least.
I mean, think about the mental edge you've got to have right now if you're the girls. You know? Just think about that.
It's
the tribe you're going up against is made up of men.
You mean psychological edge. That's not a mental edge.
Yeah, okay. All right. But in, just in terms of like feeling like, you know, once things really start to merge and it matters how you interact with the guys, like you totally got this in your pocket. Be like, look, I'm dealing with a guy who could have stayed at home and sent us to lose another one, but
right.
By the grace of God, they're dumb. So
indeed. Indeed.
Ugh.
You know, so the one thing that frustrated me is Bill, and, you know, it's funny. You'd think he would think better on his feet better as a stand-up comic, you know, just from dealing with hecklers and stuff like that. You know, Colton being he's not being a bigot, but he's being something. He's being an elitist. There we go.
At best, he's just being ignorant.
He's being an elitist, I would say. That's probably the best way to put it, right? I mean, you know, he's railing on him for his job when it's like how in the world?
He doesn't know anything about his job.
Yeah, he does.
He doesn't know anything about his job.
He knows he's a stand-up comic, and he's not very good at it.
But he's not, I mean, he's not, again, he has this idea that, like, he's just waiting for handouts. No, he's working, you know, I'm sure whatever that job is very, you know, whatever he has to do to sort of scrape together what little he has, I'm sure is a lot of hard work. You know?
Oh, I'm sure it is too, and Colton is definitely discounting that. But it's what I think is strange is it's like I don't understand why he even has an opinion on it. Like, why does that even like?
No, he's just trying to rationalize the irrational.
I guess because
he had it made up in his mind that
why does it matter that he's doing this? Like, it doesn't impact you whatsoever.
Again, he feels like he has to justify it, and also, at the same time, sort of, like, make people not think it's about race, whether or not it is for him, and I have no idea if he's actually racist or not.
Yeah, if he's actually masking.
But whether or not it is racist for him or not, like, he has to find a reason to dislike him so that people don't think it's purely based on, well, he's black and I'm white.
Yeah, I guess. Although, to be honest, I mean, and maybe that's... Maybe I'm... Maybe it's because I think I'm a fairly progressive thinker too, but it did not occur to me that he disliked Bill because of his race.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And,
I mean, because he did actually have one comment that I missed in the last episode that I read about on EW from Dalton Ross, where he referred to Bill as ghetto trash at one point. And it was sort of surprising because Dalton brought up the point that it was like it sort of flew. I think he brought up the point that it sort of flew under the radar a little bit and did not receive the attention that I think it was 4 or 5 seasons ago. That guy, I think it was Ben, made a comment towards an African American girl on the tribe, and I think referred to her as something in the neighborhood of ghetto trash. But I think he went further with it, you know? I think he belabored it, whereas for Colton it was more of a passing comment, you know? Either way, I never got the impression that it was racial.
No, I think if this was honestly him judging him for being a poor... you know, obnoxious person, and his poorness was obnoxious enough to Colton, and then that was part of it as well. Yeah. This is a guy who was just kind of like freeloading, and it kind of upset his very pampered and
Bill missed a second opportunity, and this one was even better because he actually did take the high road in this interaction, and he missed an opportunity to turn this around on Colton. I mean, Colton was clearly making like was almost unapologetically being elitist, or even I guess maybe almost explicitly being elitist, you know. And it was an opportunity to turn it around on him. I mean, you could play the hypocritical card on him because you're basically judging. He's basically judging Bill for something that has no impact on Colton's life, which is done regularly, unfortunately, by plenty of homophobes in regards to homosexuals.
That's why. That's why I feel bad for people like Colton. Ultimately, it's like, you know, the hypocrisy you're living in.
Yeah.
Is staggering.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's like if you as a member of a scorned minority group can't empathize, you know, and not degeneralize people from a different group, and I'm not even talking about necessarily him being black, just the poor people, like people have to work really hard. Like if you can't have empathy for people like that,
yeah,
you know.
Or better yet, for somebody who's doing something that they love doing, like you can't ask anything more of people, of someone like that, you know? Do what you love doing and make sure you don't piss off somebody along the way in what you're doing, you know? Don't piss somebody off by not paying your bills, and don't piss somebody off by stepping on other people's feet. But otherwise, and oh, by the way, he's not doing either of those to you, Colton, so back off.
Yeah, Greg's rant about race was really interesting. I mean, it was, and there was so much merit to it. It was like, you know, can't we just discuss the fact that, you know,
Tarzan?
Colton doesn't like Bill as a person? Yeah. Yeah. No, he was like, look, this isn't about race, and I feel like we're painting it to be about race, and he's seeing what we're seeing, and that, like, there's just this elitist versus poor thing going on, and not necessarily a white versus black.
I completely disagree. I think Tarzan was way off. Because
no, I think
all of the race...
Tarzan's saying the same thing we're saying. It's like, look, this is not about white and black. He's like, this is about one guy not liking another guy. Can we move past talking about race?
But who was the one bringing up the race? It was Jeff. No, it was Jeff. Colton. Colton was the one bringing up race. Jeff brought it up after Colton brought it up. And actually, Colton volunteered the information about saying, like, I have friends that are black, and
because I felt like he was being spun in a way to make it look like he was being racist, and it comes back. His problem is ultimately what you're talking about, which is an elitist versus poor thing. You know, one
right.
versus 99.
Right.
It's not necessarily. It just so happens that Bill is black, and so I think, you know, people are trying to take it out on Colton because he's racist. I think it's not. He doesn't hate him because he's black. He hates him because he's elitist, and the other guy's poor, and he hates that.
Well, right, but I mean, I felt like Jeff was made a couple of decent points here. Like, Colton tries to make it sound like Colton tries to explicitly and without any accusations make it clear that this is not about race, and then goes out of his way to do so by pointing out that he has African American.
That was a
friends.
Mistake. You know, it was a complete mistake for
and
him
Jeff
to point out that I have African American
like, oh,
people
okay,
in my
who
life.
Who are they?
Okay, but let's be clear on this. Before race was thrown into this mix, did this not seem like it was above that?
Yes.
This is about a rich elitist person.
Yes, but
finding someone who is a hardworking, you know, gregarious individual who has joy without money, and that he finds that offensive.
But Jeff's point that he tried to make and got, I don't know, edited on or whatever, was Tarzan goes off and he says, I forget how he put it, but he said, I feel like Colton's being painted with this brush here. And Jeff says, yeah, he is getting painted with this brush, but who's doing the painting? And the question didn't get answered, and Colton was the one doing the painting. Like, it was, like Jeff was just asking questions, and Colton was the one digging the hole. You know, like, Jeff did not call him a racist. All he did was ask questions. Now, what I will concede is there's plenty that we did not hear, I'm sure, from Tribal Council. So Tarzan's reaction may have been to stuff more towards stuff that we never saw. But based on what we saw, I do not feel like anybody except Colton brought race into it. Like, Bill did maybe marginally when he referred to backgrounds, but he didn't even say
that. Go to the message of what Greg is saying, Chris. Like, shouldn't we not be talking about
this? Is Greg Tarzan?
Yeah,
okay. I don't even know who Greg is.
Like, shouldn't we just factor in the fact that this is not about a white guy hating a black guy? It's about a guy who happens to be white who hates a guy who happens to be black for different reasons.
I agree.
You know? So you know, the fact that, like, we're belaboring this point about the role of the races of the people involved is overshadowing the point that, like, you know, Coulson's a horrible person, even if he's not, you know, hating on a black person.
Right, right.
You know,
right, yeah.
He's a horrible person because he hates on someone who works hard. He's a horrible person because he's spoiled and he doesn't see the hypocrisy that he's living in saying someone's accepting handouts when all he's ever had is what he's been given.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. The other thing I took away from Tarzan's rant, though, was...
I have to call him Greg because I want to, like, treat him with some gravity here.
Oh, that's why you keep calling him Greg, because you want his... because you think his... you liked his point, and so you want it to actually have some validity so that it sounds like it comes from somebody,
I mean,
who doesn't call
it
himself
It really
Tarzan.
Was, like, very assaulting at first. I was like, whoa, what is he going on about? And then I kind of thought about it. It's like, yeah, you know what? This shouldn't necessarily be about how Coulson feels about, you know, people of another race, either positive or negative. It doesn't boil down to that. What it boils down to is, here's a guy who has made it his mission to spoil the fun for someone who, you know, he finds their lifestyle to be abhorrent to theirs.
Yeah, except the problem was he also was siding with Coulson, though. That's the thing, is he tried to make it sound like, well, wait, let's, you know, like, you're not bringing it back to anything. The other thing I took away from it was, I feel like there's a lot of people who want to act like we are in a post-racial society, and we are, and we're so obviously not in a post-racial society. You know, I mean, I personally, I don't love stuff like affirmative action and stuff like that. You know, I sort of take the Chris Rock approach, where, you know, I don't think that somebody who's a minority who's less qualified should get put ahead in line of somebody who's more qualified. But if it's a tie, give it to the minority. Like that, I can agree with a little bit. But, you know, there's this, like, we've got a black president now, so, you know, so racism is clearly dead. And I feel like that is just somebody who feels like he's never done anything remotely racist and he's sick of hearing about it. And so since he's never done it, nobody's ever done it. And so shut up about it. That was what I heard. Is I heard an angry older gentleman who wants to believe that we're in post-racial society when we're not.
I find this argument interesting because I'm the one of color and you're the white guy.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we're taking somewhat unconventional positions.
I'm not defending bigotry. I'm not defending ignorance.
Right.
I just felt like in this particular instance that it shouldn't have been about race, and Greg pointed that out astutely. Whether that supports Coulson or not is besides the point. I do not agree with his premise that, like, you know, we should be in a post-racial, you know, whatever. I agree with your point that you're making that, like, clearly, we're not. You know,
Obama
we have
being
not
president moved. Doesn't absolve us all suddenly.
Correct. Yeah, we still have to be, you know, reminded of the inequality of the system that mm-hmm. gave birth to the issues that we have, the poverty cycle, things like that.
Right. Right.
No, all right.
I agree.
So we've broken some interesting ground here, and I could talk about this for a lot longer, but we shouldn't drag our listeners through it.
No, yeah, and we have a chance to cut it off under an hour here. I do want to say, I was really hoping Tarzan would ask about the last few votes again, because that would just be an excellent way for him to close, like, every tribal council that he's at. Can we see the other votes, Jeff? What's on those other pieces of paper, Jeff? What's there? Did anybody vote for you, Jeff? I want to know.
All right. If any of the listeners want to weigh in on their opinions about this mess,
yes, hot
where
button
should they
issues.
Do it?
This is a hot button issue. You guys should talk to us about it. Tweet us. The handle is @TribalPodcast, or email us at podcast@tc.vanby.net. We really want to hear from you. We will read any and all tweets and emails that come to us.
Victor had like four of his texts read on the air today.
I know,
you know.
Basically did. That's true.
So
every once in a while,
can,
I do get an email at that email address, but it's from like box.net when I tried to sign us up for some shared cloud space. So I'm not going to read those. Sorry, box.net.
While you're at it, if you are a regular listener and you would like to leave us an iTunes review, we would greatly appreciate it. We have one that reads better than nothing, and we have... We have another one that says, I don't
better
know,
than,
definitely good. So, you know, if you want to help us define our our abilities. We will accept your feedback.
We want the feedback. Yeah, we want the feedback, positive or negative. If it's negative, tweet it to us, though, so it doesn't show up on iTunes, huh?
I will learn to persevere through your negative comments. I will get some stick-to-itiveness.
Indeed.
On behalf of Chris, we look forward to hearing from you guys, and can't wait to see what happens next week, and hope you'll join us. Thanks.